Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, one, two, three.
I have the headset on, and I'm talking.
Okay, can you hear me?
I hear you very well.
Hear me through the headset?
I believe I am hearing you through the headset. You want to switch places and see?
Okay, no, that's good. Okay, so I am going to just let you record this whenever you want, okay? And the guest is going to come. The guest is not coming on for another 20 minutes. So.
Two pages. Yeah, because one I wrote my own introduction to it. All right, let me try it. Print it.
This page. This is the new writing one. It's the old one.
Yeah, no, you'll have to take it out again. Take out that page again. I'll ad lib the other. I mean, it's only an experiment. Now, before we do anything, I'm not going to be able to sit like this. I'm going to have...
Why do you sit like that? Just move it.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Good. So I'm ready. Yeah. All right, whenever you're ready, you tell me.
Just give it 10 seconds of silence before you start and just do it.
Did you ever wonder how so many people have the time and know-how to make podcasts and get their point of view out to the world, make money, become influencers? Well, it's simple. They use Anchor. I've been a broadcaster for decades, but I was clueless until I discovered the easiest way to make a podcast. Anchor gives you everything you need in one place, and by the way, it is free. You can use Anchor creation tools to edit your podcast so it sounds great and to record. Now, then Anchor will distribute your podcast everywhere, and I mean everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, many, many more. And you can easily make money even with no minimum listenership. Now, here's all you have to do. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm, that's anchor.fm, and get started. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, did you ever wonder how so many people have the time and know how to make podcasts and get their point of view across, make money, become influencers? Well, it's simple. They use Anchor. I've been a broadcaster for decades, but I was clueless until I discovered the easiest way to make a podcast. It's Anchor. They give you everything you need all in one place. It's absolutely free. And you can use their creation tools at your phone or your computer to record, to edit, and then they'll distribute your podcast everywhere, and I mean everywhere, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. You can easily make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Now, here's what you have to do. You download Anchor app. That's it. Or you can go to anchor.fm and get started. Download Anchor app. Or go to anchorfm.com to get started. That's it. That was a mistake, so I'm going to redo it.
Sorry, you've got something you want to use.
I don't know yet. I'm going to do another one, but if you could go in and just go here or there and just be quiet so I'm not hearing the flushing all the time.
You should have the headset on, Adrian. You should be hearing nothing.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, good to know.
That headset should cancel out all the noise.
Oh, all right.
And this should, so I'm getting out of the way because we're not using
it. And also then close the door if you're going to be making a lot of noise. Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg. Did you ever wonder how... Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, host of Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Did you ever wonder how so many people have the time and know-how to make podcasts and get their point of view across, make money, become influencers? Well, it's simple. They use Anchor. I've been a broadcaster for decades, but was clueless until I discovered the easiest way to make a podcast, and it's Anchor. Anchor gives you everything you need in one place for free. Yes, you heard that right, for free. You can use Anchor right at your phone or your computer to record, edit your podcast. It will sound great. And then they will distribute it everywhere, and I mean everywhere. This includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many, many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. You can fulfill your dreams, and you can be heard. Here's all you have to do. Download the Anchor app
or go to anchor.fm to get started. That's all there is. Anchor app or go to anchor.fm and get started now.
Listen to it until recording it. This is not like your recording.
Okay, so I have two little things to record.
You have the microphone until the guest comes and you're ready to begin.
Okay. You be the judge. Should there be assisted suicides? Well, in New York State, voters say that they support medically aided dying as an end-of-life care option by more than 2-1, 63% versus 29%, according to a Quinnipiac University poll. Now, as a result of all of this, Compassion Choices has been urging New York lawmakers to pass the medical aid in dying legislation. Now, Maine, New Jersey, other states already have this. We used to call this euthanasia. We used to call it assisted suicides. No, now it is medically aided dying. Does the words matter? Right now, there are restrictions. You have to be terminally ill with regard to what is told to you by your doctors and physicians, as well as mentally capable of making the decision to die. You be the judge. Is this a slippery slope for older adults being sent out to pasture and then beyond? Or is this a humanitarian effort for those in pain who want to leave the planet for perhaps a better place? When you think of G20 meetings, leaders internationally all over the world, do you think only of economics? Well, if so, think about aging. G20 leaders meeting in Osaka committed themselves to promote healthy and active aging through policy measures to address health promotion, prevention, and control of communicable and non-communicable diseases. Now, what was the basis
of making aging a focus of a G20 meeting? Well, they're talking about prevention in an aging world. The World Health Assembly in May called on governments across the globe to make lifespan a priority, and here's why. They say that at least 16% of the total number of years lived with disability for all diseases are attributable to preventable, communicable, and non-communicable diseases. Now, there are longevitists in this world, and they are winning. I happen to be one of them. There are also immortalists in this world, like Aubrey de Grey, who say, we don't have to die at all if we make it a priority. What do you think human lifespan should be? The biblical 120? The current 85 to 87? Other? You be the judge. You be the judge. In a recent broadcast and one of my blogs, we featured cannabis CBD cream for minor arthritic pain or for You be the judge. In a recent broadcast and one of my blogs, we featured cannabis. Everything from CBD cream to help with minor arthritic pain to curing the crisis in opioid epidemic. You be the judge about this, because when I wandered into a CBD cannabis emporium in Denver, Colorado, and asked the young man behind the counter what I should buy, he said to me, well, what's your dosage? What do you mean? I asked him. He said, you know, sometimes you get vertigo from this. Sometimes it's contraindicated with other medications. Is it right for somebody of a certain age? The very people who might have had experiences with cannabis, we used to call it grass or weed, must remember that this isn't your grandmother's cannabis anymore. It is something brand new. It is a commodity with companies out there, consumerism, brands, and yes, dosage. Is it right? Should every state make it legal for non-medical purposes? Well, you be the judge. You be the judge. The Older Americans Act is up for reaffirmation. Among many of its provisions is one that disallows and makes illegal discrimination in the workplace for workers over the age of 40. But is age discrimination different from gender or racial discrimination? Do we differ just because of age? Is there a platform and a rationalization for differences in employment treatments of people who are older? And what is old? Right now, under the Older Americans Act, The answer is 40. You be the judge. Do you think that cognitively, productively, physically, the changes that naturally come with age for all of us should disqualify us from certain jobs? Not so sure that ageism is more important today in the way we think about aging than age itself. You be the judge. You be the judge. The Older Americans Act is up for reaffirmation. Among many of its provisions is one that disallows and makes illegal discrimination in employment for people over the age of 40. But is age discrimination different from gender and racial discrimination? Can we find a rationale, a platform for saying that people who are older are cognitively changed, different, physically incapable? And at what age might that start? The Older Americans Act, as I said, stops discrimination with regard to people over the age of 40. But what about people over the age of 70, 80, 90? Should employers be able to discriminate based solely on age when it comes to them? And would it matter what work they were doing? Well, when it comes to age discrimination, very often our prejudices are more important in our decision-making than who the person is, their chronological age, their biologic age, and their cognitive age. You be the judge as to whether or not employment discrimination can be stopped because of age discrimination.
Two tickets for Sunday.
That's this Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that on your calendar?
Yes.
I call it. I have Rita Rudnick for the 14th. I have that for this Sunday. Which is what we had this for, right?
This is a crowd. Looks like a dress. You know, Rudner and Mockenberg.
But they don't know how long it'll be, right? How are you? Okay, so this is not the number you're supposed to call, but I can call you on the number. So let me call you back on the air number, okay? At this number?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you both on the line?
Yeah.
Okay. So I need if Matt, if you want to listen into the interview,
You need to call into this, to our call-in number on a different line, because I can't have you both on the same line. No, no, it doesn't matter, because there's an echo.
Right, you don't want me on speaker, you want me to hold the...
I mean, yeah, no speaker, and if you're on the... Are you guys on the same line, on the same phone?
We're the same room.
Yeah, okay, good, so I can't have you in the same room, on the same line.
Okay.
Good, so Matt, you can stay on... I need both of you to call in on the call-in line. Let me give you that number to call in, okay? And I need you to call in on separate phones in separate rooms.
Okay.
Okay, good. So it's
818-739-8957.
Yeah. All right, thank you. Okay, so both call in, and I'll talk to you on the guest line when you call in.
That's right.
Okay, hello, who I got on the line now? Susan, okay, good. Hold on. Matt, are you on the line also? Okay, good. So, Matt, I'm putting you on the listen-only line, okay? And I'm putting Susan on the line with Katie, so you guys can talk. And, Matt, I'll put you on the airline, both of you. Matt, I'll take you off and leave you ready to record, okay? Unless you're going to be on as well. Okay, if you prefer just to listen, I'm going to put you in on the airline so you can talk until the recording starts, and then I'll put you on listen only, okay? And Susan, I'm going to put you on the airline. Hang on. Okay, Susan and Matt are both on. I'm going to take Matt and I'll put him on listen only when you're ready to record.
Okay, good. Susan, can you hear me?
Yep, absolutely.
Wonderful. So we're not on the air yet. I'm just going to introduce myself a little bit and tell you what we're going to do. First, I want to be sure that I'm saying it correct. Susan Weinstock, is that the right way to say your name?
That's correct.
And the title they gave me is Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming. Is that the title?
Yes.
Great. Okay. By the way, I also had I didn't work for, but with the U.S. Department of the Treasury, they had a committee on financial communications. And I was on that committee for a while. Yeah. I don't know. Are you familiar with that particular committee?
I'm not, but that's very interesting.
It's very interesting because they had things like the required minimum distribution a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And then different laws that would pass that people really had to understand.
Right,
so that's,
and how to get that information out.
Yeah, it was a good way. And then related to that, I was the host of IRS Tax Beats, which was a cable CNN show sponsored by the Internal Revenue Service and Excedrin. You can't make this up, you know? Sounds great. I know. Anyway, so we're going to talk today about the AARP program that you're in charge of on financial security.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have here is that this particular focus is work and jobs, right?
Right.
So are we going to be this a lot that has to do with financial security? Is work and jobs your focus?
They're very intertwined, right?
For sure. Okay.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's some obvious questions, but then I'm going to also ask you what you want to bring out. Certainly one of the questions we're going to talk about is ageism.
Right.
And in terms of getting hired and staying on the job. Can we talk about the Older Americans Act?
I don't know a whole lot about the Older Americans Act.
Then we will not talk about that.
Okay.
I want to make it comfortable for you. Also, I think, to me, always, aging and money is also a woman's issue. And
yeah.
work. And And salary is a woman's issue.
Yeah.
So I think that's something we want to deal with as well.
Yeah.
We want to also talk about what the AARP program is doing directly for the consumer, not always in advocacy, but in education, you
right.
know, for the consumer.
Absolutely.
We also do want, yeah, we do want to talk about the advocacy role as well. All right. So those are four big topics. What if you had to get one thing out that you really want to get out, what would it be?
I think I want to talk about our employer pledge program, which is a program that's aimed at employers, but is for consumers. So it's a program that where we have employers pledge that they're going to hire based on ability, regardless of age, that they value a multi-generational workforce. And then we have a job board, and on the job board, they get a special logo on any job that they post that shows that they are an employer pledge signer.
Fantastic. So we'll probably start with something like that. I don't know if something that's in your wheelhouse. I do a lot of speaking on mentoring and reverse mentoring.
Uh-huh.
In the workplace or the intergenerational workforce and
very
how that
important.
Is best.
Yeah,
best managed. So we'll want to talk a little about that. And what happens is, yeah, it sounds like we have all the time in the world, but the fact is it goes so fast, your head spins.
Yeah.
It's four segments. At the end of each segment is a music. You don't know when that's going on, and I do. So sometimes you're going to hear me talk a lot, and that's only because you ended, say you have, not unbeknownst to you, I know that in two more minutes we're going to be off the air for commercials. You don't know. So it may sound like I'm talking a lot or cutting you off, but that's because I know we're going to be dumped. So don't worry about that. That'll take care of itself. But if that happens, that's what's going on. If you should hear the music, just end your sentence. We're always able to edit and make it heard above the music, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. So, Stu, we are ready to rock and roll. He's
going to
test music, but we're still not on the air.
I'm taking Eric off the
air. Oh, and Eric, you're going off.
Say something to Susan.
Okay, Susan, you stay on. Eric, you just go in the background now. Stuart is taking you off the line.
Yes,
just say something now, Susan, to make sure we're hearing you correctly.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right. She said good morning.
She's on speaker.
And are you on speaker now?
I can take myself off the speaker. Is this better?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Now she's
totally
off
good.
Speaker.
Yep.
Okay. Very good.
Your register went down. Beautiful.
Okay. Very good. We're ready to go. 10 seconds.
Okay. Now we're going to be quiet for 10 seconds, and then we really will be in recording mode. And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, I always have said it's been almost 5 years that this is the only syndicated radio show on aging, but I'm going to say something a little bit more than that. This is the only syndicated radio show on successful aging. Recently, I've been all over the U.S., and next month I'll be in England talking about aging and what it really means to this world. The G20, you may think of that group as looking only at economics. They have made aging and lifespan one of the focuses and priorities in their meeting in Osaka with regard to aging and curable diseases. Communicable and incommunicable diseases, they say, make up 16% of why we suffer as we age, and they're all preventable. And so this is now a worldwide effort to increase lifespan and to make end of life happier and healthier. I think there is a book out there that says die healthy. And if there isn't, I'll write it. So for those of you who say to yourself, you know what, we are going to live longer. That's a good news. How about the bad news is we can't afford it. Well, that's why we're here today with Susan Weinstock, and she's the Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming. Don't you love that phrase, Financial Resilience Programming? A wonderful new age, I think, longevity phrase for the AARP, and they have the programs, the initiatives, the advocacy that you need so that you don't have both good news you're going to live longer and bad news you can't afford it, so that you can afford it. And you're going to be hearing about how different companies, because of the AARP, are stepping up to the plate and welcoming the older worker, how you can stay in your job, and how you can make it the best part of your work life. So thank you so much, Susan, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's just take a little bit of deeper dive, because I love your title. That's an interesting title. It could have been almost anything. What do you mean, actually, by Vice President of Financial Resilience? What does that mean to the worker, financial resilience?
Well, right. Financial resilience means lots of different things. It includes working, but it includes retirement. It includes the amount of money you have in, how you're managing your money, how you're spending your money, how you spend it down after retirement, how you're saving for retirement. It covers all of those things, because all of those things are very important to people who are 50 plus.
So let me tell you what happened the other day, and you're going to really feel this, I think. The Secure Act, I'm sure you know about it, May 23rd, it passed the House. And it simply, among many other things, says that people who are older can continue to pay into their 401k, and they don't have to take the money out until they're either 72 or 75, depending on which bill actually passes. And I told this to my friend. I was very excited. I said, oh, look at this. This is a testament that we're working longer because we're so healthy and great. And she said, yeah, how am I going to get a job? That was her answer, Susan. So it's a good question. If we're working longer, yeah, it's a great question. We're working longer. We have new legislation that says we are all healthier and able to work and save money for the fabulous decades ahead. Now, Susan Weinstock shows up and says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There has to be companies that are willing to welcome you. So what is the AARP doing about that?
Right. So we have a program called the Employer Pledge Program, and if you want to, listeners want to see the list of companies that have signed our pledge, they can go to aarp.org/employer-pledge. We have over 1,200 companies now that have signed the pledge, and what the pledge says is that this company affirms the value of older workers, affirms the value of a multi-generational workforce, and will hire based on ability regardless of age. Now, let me just be very clear here that this is not a heavy lift. It's the law. The law requires this. But having public affirmation of that, we think, is really important. So having these companies step up and say that they're going to publicly state that this is important to them, we think is great. We're rolling out a program actually later this year where we're going to ask each of these companies to take two actions to demonstrate their commitment to our pledge. So add age to your diversity and inclusion policies. Right now, only 8% of CEOs report that age is included in their diversity and inclusion plans, which is kind of amazing. So we want to raise that number. We want to make sure that that older workers have offered training, are offered promotions, have the ability to get a job, all of those things that are important to maintain their financial resilience, and it comes back to that. So these employers have stepped up and said that they will do that. And it's a wide variety of employers. It's LinkedIn, PayPal, Macy's, McDonald's. And it's also smaller employers have also stepped up, more local employers who are interested in it as well.
You know, you're somebody who makes things happen and puts together a program like that. But I'm going to ask you something much more on an opinion basis. Over and over again, and I know you've felt the same or heard the same, you'll hear people of power in corporations in their 60s, themselves, maybe even early 70s, and they will honestly, in their heart, believe that people that they're about to hire are just too old. They themselves, who are older than the people that they're discriminating against, don't see age or do see age as a barrier. Where do you think that comes from an employer's point of view, that they step up and make a pledge?
It's really frustrating. There's more jobs now than there are people to fill them in this country. And yet, older workers tend to be the most overlooked. We have now programs to help the formerly incarcerated get jobs. Fantastic.
Okay.
But why are we not also looking at this great pool of talent, which is older workers? And one of the things that we're doing with our employers, with employers out there, is that we are trying to educate them about this vast cohort of people that they are overlooking. And there's a lot of myths about them that we're trying to bust. First of all, one of the things that they're missing out on when they do that is older workers have much greater tenure. They tend to stay in a job 7 or 8 years, whereas a millennial will tend to stay in a job only 2 years. There's this myth that they don't know technology, and that's not true.
Yes.
Think about the people who invented the internet. They were baby boomers, right?
Very true.
There's no reason to think that that's not the case. We've seen wonderful mentorship programs between older and younger workers. And there's also really good data, mostly coming out of Germany, unfortunately. I wish we had data here in the U.S., looking at the value of multi-generational teams. They literally, at a plant in Germany, they specifically made a multi-generational team. And what they found was the error rate went to zero, productivity improved, absenteeism went down. So, those are all wonderful aspects. And so being very intentional about making those multi-generational teams is a really important thing that employers can do to up the productivity and lower the absenteeism rate of their workforce.
Sometimes when I'm a consultant to different companies that do want to cherish their boomer generation and even older worker, we create reverse mentoring programs and mentoring programs where the older worker does mentor the younger person, and reverse mentoring where the younger person mentors the older person. And what you find after a very short period of time, the committee meetings are better, the productivity is better, the atmosphere and the tension goes out of the room. It's almost like two cultures. I have to admit, age has to do with your experience. We would say in the business, the cohort and what they went through historically does sometimes make two generations different culturally. But it's like any other two cultures. Once you learn each other's language and where you're coming from, everybody's a human being, the age disappears. So it's a terrific thing that the AARP is doing with regard to that. We're going to talk a lot more about the money, honey, when we come back. We're speaking here with Susan Weinstock, and she's the Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming for the AARP. We're focusing today, as she said, so many aspects of financial resilience, but one of them is your salary, your work, and we talked about here the ability to get a job. We'll talk when we come back with what might happen if you are discriminated against with regard to age, and what about salaries? We do know that still today, women live around, it used to be 8 years longer than men statistically. Now it's a little bit less than that. And they generally have made less money through the years. Even the C-level has very frequently made less money than the men. So we're going to be talking about salaries and age discrimination, which is not only an age issue, but also
you
a woman's issue. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
But that doesn't bother me, not even a bit. I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da, da 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 da.
Okay, so now we're off again. I'm going to put commercials in. You see how it goes. It went pretty fast, right? And that's one of our longer segments. Yeah. So when we come back, I'm going to ask you again to give any kind of a website or any place you'd like them to go to learn about the program.
Sure.
And then I would like to talk about the other end of it. Your program has a lot to do with getting the job. Is there anything in terms of AARP advocacy that's helpful for folks who feel that they're being discriminated against while on the job?
Sure. The Age Discrimination in Employment Act is a bill in Congress that we've been promoting, so we can talk about that.
Great. We'll do that. We're ready, Stu.
Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, a little bit of housekeeping here. I've been doing a lot of speaking, and if you would like to see some of the programs that I'm presenting, go to eSpeakers.com. Look up my name, Adrienne Berg, eSpeakers.com. We just posted two really fabulous programs. One is on positive deviance, finding the person in your facility, in your organization, even your resident, if you have a senior housing facility, who's doing something right. Stop focusing on what people are doing wrong. Look and see what they're doing right and model it. Find the positive deviant. And we have a protocol for you on that. Take a look at eSpeakers.com and a training program. And for those of you who are in the financial industry, and that's what we're talking about today, you can take a look at the program Building the Longevity Practice. If you don't have a five-generation practice, you are missing the boat. And we will show you how to do that, with some fantastic trainings, webinars, and keynotes. So all you have to do is go to eSpeakers.com and take a look at that. Now, speaking of money, we are here with somebody who knows quite a bit about that. She is Susan Weinstock. She is Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming over at the AARP. And she's responsible for the overall strategic direction of these AARP programs and education to improve financial security for people over the age of 50. And boy, do we need it. Now, what we were talking about, Susan, as you helped us so much in the first part of our show, was if we want to get a job. And the AARP has put together a program where corporations, major corporations, step up to the plate to welcome and be designated as welcoming the older worker. I'm going to ask you two questions. One, once again, just tell everybody where to find and read about the program. But the second question is, what if they already have a job? What protects them, and what is the AARP doing about that when it comes to ageism?
Sure. So let me start with a couple of websites. So the Employer Pledge Program is at aarp.org/employerpledge. We also have a job board where these employers and others post jobs on the job board. These are folks who are interested in hiring older workers. And if you go to aarp.org/jobs, you can see the job board and other resources we have for older workers. I also want to mention one other program that we have, which is at learn.aarp.org. In 36 communities around the country, we actually offer in-person classes for people looking for work. One is called Sharpen Your Networking and Interviewing Skills, and the other is called Job Search in the Digital Age. So if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, you'd like help in learning how to build that, how to look for a job online, these two classes will help you, and they are in person. They're at like local libraries or at hotels. They are free. And all you have to do is sign up and attend. We also have what we call micro-learnings, like tough interview questions and things that you can practice that are on this website. So it's learn.aarp.org. Now, to your question on age discrimination, we are working on a bill called the Protect Older Workers Against Discrimination Act. Its acronym is PWADA. So the PWADA,
okay.
The PWADA bill has been heard in committee and passed out of committee is now awaiting passage on the House floor. We are hoping that it will happen soon. We welcome folks to contact their congressman to tell them that they want to have this bill passed. As I said, it's called the Protect Older Workers Against Discrimination Act. Unfortunately, the Supreme Court in 2009, in what is known as the Gross, G-R-O-S-S decision, that was the name of the one of the plaintiffs. The Supreme Court decided that there's a higher standard for proving age discrimination than there are other kinds of discrimination, and we think that's wrong. And we want to correct that decision, and the only way to correct that is to get a bill through Congress. So, as I said, they've had a hearing. They've passed the bill out of committee. We're hoping that they're going to take it up sometime later this year on the House floor, and they'll pass it. And then we've got to get it through the Senate, and we've got to get the president to sign it so that age discrimination is equally as enforceable as other kinds of discrimination.
You know, I'm really appalled by that decision. First of all, don't hold this against me, but I'm a lawyer. And I've been a lawyer for a very long time. It's very difficult to swallow the business of discrimination, even in the laws that are anti-discriminatory. But that is how deep-rooted, it's hard to believe for anybody listening, that is how deep-rooted our ageism is. And the reason we give ourselves a pass and we say things that we would never say if it came to racial discrimination, religious discrimination, even gender discrimination, when it comes to age discrimination, because we're all aging. And we think that because we're in the group of those who are being discriminated against, it's okay. We have a different moral standard, and it really is strange. It truly is. But good luck on that one, because it is so important. And by the way, for those of you who want to make money in business, it's stupid. There is nothing more counterproductive that not having an experienced person on the job could possibly be. It's an amazing type of prejudice, and it's not economical. Okay, so now let's say that we are on the job. Our job isn't being threatened. We got our job, and we are female. And one of the things we're looking at is, A, retiring and what our pension might be. B, the fact that our Social Security is lower than our husband's. And C, that no good marriage has a happy ending. We may lose his pension and we may lose his Social Security because women do outlive men. What's the AARP stand on perhaps educating women to demand higher, advocating for equal wages? Because it's an age issue. We do live longer.
It is an age issue. One of the things that we've been looking at it in state legislatures, and we got this passed in a few states, in Connecticut is one that just comes to mind, is a law that says that an employer cannot ask your previous salary when you're applying for a job, because that's a women's issue, and it's also an older person's issue, because they can then decide that you are too expensive, quote unquote, and they don't want to hire you. And they the thing is that, you know, a job has a market value, and a good HR person should know the market value of that job, and you should not be paid based on what you made before. It's based on the market value of the job. So it's illegal in now a few states, and in a few cities have passed laws saying that an employer is not allowed to ask that question anymore.
Well, that's wonderful, because that means that women will not have to play catch up all
right.
their life.
Right, and it perpetuates, right? It just you get paid
sure.
lower when you start, and it just keeps going and going with
keeps going.
It. But by getting rid of that question, we can eradicate this.
And do remember, for the few pensions that are still left, there's not many, by the way, in many companies. The last 5 years of your work and the amount of salary you made in the last 5 years of your work counts a lot more to your eventual lifelong pension than the first years of your life. So this is going to be really good. We'll be back. We'll be covering the waterfront when it comes to your work and anti-aging.
I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay. Now, again, there's just so much here, and I don't want to miss anything. There are programs, when you answer the question, we're off the air now, we're just talking. When you answer the question about different websites and all, it's very clear you've got a lot of programs. And you're working on a lot of things that I don't know because, you know, it's not in the it's not in the resume that was sent to me. So what I wanted to do is ask you, is there any other major programs or issues that you want to cover before I put my two cents in as to what I'd like to cover?
I think maybe we'll talk about the future, our looking at the future of work and its impact on the 50-plus. That's
yeah,
more of a research-based thing, but certainly very important.
Well, one of the things that I hope we'll get into with that, and I wanted to bring it up, you had mentioned it before, was technology. I do a lot of work with robotics and what's happening in the world of robotics, mostly from the point of view of caregiving. But when it comes to workforce, that's a different thing. So I don't know if that is part of what you'll talk
about. Yeah, and we could talk about our work that's supporting helping employers to support the caregivers in their workforce.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I will talk about that, and I will introduce that. First, I'll tell a little funny story, which you'll appreciate. Okay, we are ready.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age, da da da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, one of the fun things that I get to do is watch the intergenerational workforce. And I said to Susan Weinstock, who's with us, she's Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming at the AARP. I'll tell a little funny story. There are differences, Susan, in the intergenerational workforce. So in one committee, people were learning to work together. They had a program. And all the baby boomers were doing exactly what the AARP did. They take the first letter of their initiative and they make a word out of it. Even the Secure Act, SECURE, is SWEW, so on. It is it stands for something because that's what baby boomers do. They like it. They're wordsmiths. But the Gen Xers and the Gen Ys, they were in the committee too. And they said, well, let's call the program George. Now, George had absolutely... It was just a name. They had no interest in making it stand for anything. They just wanted a really, really good trending name that made sense to them in more an inspirational way as opposed to an intellectual way. And it was really fascinating watching different styles that come from the different generations. But that doesn't mean one is better than the other or there should be discrimination. In fact, it was fun for everybody. Now, work is not always so much fun for everybody. One of the things that we've talked about is getting a job, discrimination on the job, the many AARP programs that educate people. But there's a lot more to it than that. So jump in. I had asked during our little time together off the air what Susan really wants to bring out. What was something that she thought was important that people may not know the AARP is involved in? So let us know, Susan.
Well, let's talk a little bit about caregivers in the workforce, because this is a really important issue, and we are very supportive of trying to help caregivers in the workforce. We have a booklet out that we are using for employers to teach employers to get them to understand here are the things that you can be doing to support the caregivers in your workforce. And your caregivers are not just elderly. A quarter of caregivers are millennials. So this is something that spans the ages. It's something that's very important to people, and there's lots of things that employers can do to offer support to the caregivers in their workforce.
You know, this is something that I know a lot about and have experience with. First of all, half of all 60-year-olds have a living parent. Second of all, I mentioned that I was a lawyer. I was a trust and estates lawyer. I many times had people in their 70s bringing in their 95-year-olds to do estate planning. And when the 70-year-old would come in, I was a much younger, was pretty young then, I thought they were coming in for themselves. They were coming in for their older parents, with their older parents. So you don't have to be a certain age. You can be, the average age of a caregiver is 47 and working and female. However, you have a lot of people in their 60s and 70s still approaching their own retirement and their own aging and taking care of older parents. So that's very, very wonderful. I will tell you that things have changed. We used to do lunch and learns at different corporations about caregiving, and nobody showed up. They were so scared that the employer would think that they were not focusing on the job that they wouldn't admit that they were caregivers. So are you finding a lot of good reception, you know, as times have changed now with these programs?
We actually are. That's interesting that you say that, because we actually offer webinars, lunch and learns from our experts to, so the companies that have signed the pledge, our experts can do webinars and lunch and learns for the employees at companies about helping caregivers in the workforce and about building multi-generational teams. And we find that we get really good participation from employers on this sort of thing.
Now, that's just wonderful to hear. Now, let's talk about these intergenerational teams. First of all, you know, usually if you're going to do a cartoon, the villain in the piece of this would be the HR officer. They're always the villain in the piece, these poor guys. But they do struggle with the intergenerational workforce, as I talked about cultural differences. We talk so much, particularly on this show, we're talking to a certain demographic. And every once in a while, I really fear that I don't have my finger on the pulse of the younger generation. And without that, what I'm talking about or suggesting really doesn't make sense in many different topics. What are you hearing from the younger generation? Are they resentful? Do they want to learn? Is this just, you know, a straw man where all these intergenerational tensions are what anticipated but not real? Or do we have to break through barriers?
I mean, I think what you said before is really what this is all about, is building these multi-generational teams. People get to know each other as people. And once you build those teams and people get to know each other as people, then those barriers break down. And people work well together, and they get along, and they value each other for both their similarities and their differences, and they learn from each other. And it makes the workforce a more interesting place. It makes it, you know, a more fun place to work. It grows people's interests and things like that. So there's a host of reasons why you want that diversity in your workforce that includes age.
Now, one of the things, though, is, you know, this is the name of this show, is the fountain of truth. Are we more expensive? I mean, that's a really important question. We still talked about employers having to make a profit. And if the healthcare issue for older adults is in their face, they may say they have a reason to discriminate. And you did mention the law case, which is appalling to me, that has a different standard or a higher standard of age discrimination. But I could, again, say, perhaps make an argument as an attorney, that there's a rationale for that. The older worker is more expensive. Do you ever get that pushback, and is it true?
I do hear the pushback. I'm not sure it's true. We did a research on this a few years back, and actually we want to update it this year about the value, the expense of older workers. And what we found is that they're really not necessarily more expensive. I mean, every people need to be looked at as individuals, right? So going in, you don't just assume, like, maybe this person's already 65 and is on Medicare. Well, then their health care costs will probably be a lot less, because the employer is not going to be the primary insurance for the person. So, I mean, there's a whole host of things. Maybe, I mean, as you said, there's few people who have a pension these days, but there are people who have pensions. Maybe they retired from a job where they had a pension. They've decided they want to go back to work. We hear all the time about people who unretire, that they retired and they decided, you know what,
call
I'm really
retirement.
Bored or
not
whatever, right, or
retirement.
They need the money, and then they want to go back to work, but they already have this pension, so they actually may not need to make as much money. So, you know, it's a stereotype, and so, again, those can really be a detrimental to people. And so a human resources person or a hiring manager needs to look at that person for the value that they bring to the company or to the workforce and what they offer, and then make give them an offer of the market value of the job.
And, you know, one of the things that we're seeing, and this is a terrific thing, but it's born of the fact that there is age discrimination. We're seeing more people over the age of 54, and most of them women, starting their own companies, small businesses, instead of looking for a job. And they give up. They feel that they do have some entrepreneurial spirit. They're sending resumes out over and over again. I just recently wrote an article for my blog, which is called Aging for Beginners, but most of the people reading it are not such beginners, on how to write a resume. And I think the biggest thing I had to tackle as a journalist was my research on whether or not you go back to the beginning of your work history, because and let people know your age right off the bat. And most HR officers said to me, don't do it. Give them the last 10 years of your work life and your education without a date. Now, that never lie, but at first blush, you won't get thrown out of the pile. And so this is still an extremely serious issue. When we come back, we're going to talk about the future of work and in some cases, technology, robotics, other things, how we might see workforce change. One of the things, of course, we know is mobility, working from home. Susan Weinstock, the Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming of the AARP, just blithely mentioned the fact that, you know, people, that the whole workforce atmosphere is changing, and a lot of times the hiring units don't feel that the older adult knows the technology they need. And if we're going to work remotely more and more, and less brick-and-mortar offices are being opened, technology becomes very important, not just in the job, not just if it's a job related to technology, but the technology itself to getting any job done. Are we worthy?
We'll be right back and find out.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Okay, so we're going to talk about the future of work now. Are we in the last segment? That's too bad. All right, we're in the last segment, and we're going to cover that. And I'm also going to ask again for you to tell everybody the different places they can find help and information, okay?
Sure.
And what is there anything else major? The future of work, I know, is a big thing for you. But
we do
I don't
have
know.
Some information on entrepreneurship also on our website, because we, like you, see, and so we can talk about that too.
Okay. Still, we...
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, for those of you who like reading my blog, that is Aging for Beginners. I have a wonderful publisher, Bottom Line Personal, very professional blog with an editor. Shoot me. But she's wonderful. Go ahead and take a look at Aging for Beginners, Bottom Line Personal. And my latest article, it's coming out right this week, I believe, is, I know you're going to laugh, but it's how to hula hoop. Now, why would I talk about such a thing? Because I couldn't do it when I was a kid. And I was asked to learn it by my personal trainer, and I was able to do it. And I did learn how you can make a cognitive change as well as a physical change even after the age of 70 if you really have a motivation. And I did. And don't tell me it was wellness or health. It was just getting into a skirt that I really, really liked and couldn't get into anymore. So So we're going to, really, the hula hoop is a metaphor for being motivated and getting things done. So right now, we're going to take a look at something that I just found, the whole topic is fascinating, the future of work. And we'll be looking at that with Susan Weinstock. She's the Vice President of Financial Resilience Programming with the AARP. So the future of work, how does explain what you mean by that in the context of aging or ageism or the older worker.
Well, we know that there's lots of things that are changing in the work world. Automation is a big factor. Artificial intelligence. Longevity is another important issue. All of these things are put together are going to change the way we work. The sort of the compact between an employer and employee, the number of people who are now considered freelance employees rather than actual employees of a company with benefits. All of those things are having an impact on the way we work. For example, artificial intelligence, could be used to weed out older candidates from jobs. That's something obviously we're fighting against, and we're trying to make sure that that doesn't happen, but it's something that we're looking at and we're concerned about. Automation, you mentioned earlier, women and in working, a lot of those jobs that are going to be automated may be held by women. And so what happens when that comes to bear, and how are we going to continue to work in the age of automation? So we're looking at all of these things from a research angle, and we are specifically looking at it as what is the impact of all of these changes on the 50 plus, and that's what's important for us, obviously.
Yeah, and of course, here we come to the area, there's two areas of technology. One is the robots that can actually do the job for you. The other is the AI that can surreptitiously weed people out. But then there's the other, and that is familiarity with technology that is now incorporated in the job. It's not unusual. There used to be a marketer. What did a marketer do? They wrote an ad. They chose the right place to put the ad. Forget about it. Today, all marketing is online, and you really better understand how social media marketing works. And you were not brought up with it, even though it is true that we built the computers and so on. There's been light year changes. So what about this prejudice that once you're older, and let's say 50 plus, you really are not that tech savvy. It is not your first language. Is it true?
Well, I mean,
and
there's
if so,
things
can it
that
be overcome?
People can do. It's not necessarily true, but there's also things that people can do to continue to keep their skills up, and we highly recommend that people do that. A lot of community colleges around the country have classes in this, and in fact, in a lot of community colleges, if you're over a certain age, like 55 or 60, you can take classes for free. So you can learn about these different technologies and be able to use them easily. So that's a really important thing is you can't stagnate in your job anymore. Technology is changing too fast. A person needs to be proactive about making sure that they have the training to keep them relevant in the job.
Yeah, proactive. I just wanted to do a little tough love here. I'm a little tougher than you, Susan Weinstock, when it comes to people who are older. Get off it. You can learn it. It makes no sense for you to, giggle and say, oh, the computer and I are two. I really can't do that, and hand it over to somebody else. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. And you're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting everybody in our age group. So just stop it. Now, on another issue, I did mention the fact that we have a lot of entrepreneurial spirits here, people who do retire, sometimes quite early, 45, 50. And they always really wanted to start their own businesses. And even in their 60s and 70s, I call them late life entrepreneurs. AARP has a lot of help for them as well. Can you tell us some about that?
That's right. We have a webpage on our website, aarp.org/startabusiness. And we have also, it sounds like you, Adrian, we've seen people who, because of perceived age discrimination, they can't get a job or they lose their job and they say, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to try it. And despite the urban myth that it's only the 20-somethings that are, starting new businesses and succeeding, actually the data show that it's the 50-plus who are starting new businesses and succeeding. And the data say that the reason why that they are doing so well is they have a big network because they've lived a long time. And then number two is that they have assets that they can use to build their business, and that those two things are really important. Another point I just wanted to raise about older workers, and we hear a lot of this from employers about they're looking for soft skills because technology can take care of the robotic stuff, you know, but we need the soft skills. And guess what? That's something that you get from being in the workforce for a long time, that you
yep.
are empathetic, that you listen, that you problem solve. All of those qualities are qualities that older workers have in spades. So this is something, again, for I want the older workers to realize that they have these qualities, and we want to educate employers that older workers have these qualities that they say that they're looking for.
Well, you know, that is wonderful, very, very well said on a practical level with the entrepreneurship. I want to bring out that the new SECURE law allows small businesses who are unrelated small businesses to open up a single 401k for themselves and their employees. Now, that cuts the cost by thousands. So if you are one of those entrepreneurs that Susan Weinstock is talking about and you're starting a later or late life small business and you feel that you want to put money away, you will be able to make enough to put money away and actually save for your future. This new SECURE law, call your congressman, call your senator, tell him to pass it. Well, we are unaccountably out of time here. I thank you so much. You got so much across. Remember, this show is archived. And all of you listeners, get out there, kids, and make it happen. Pretty good, huh? We got a lot out.
That was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a wonderful, wonderful job. I hope you're really enjoying it. Yeah. You have a great job. I hope you're enjoying it as much as it sounds like you're enjoying it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And where are you in D.C.? Are you in Washington?
Yes, in Washington, in the Penn Quarter area. I don't know how well you know Washington, but yeah.
I do. My son, who's now with Disney in L.A., was a speechwriter for many years for Libby Dole and just a lot of folks out there. A lot of the Secretary of Treasury, mostly women, interestingly. Also Guterres, Secretary of Commerce. So he had an apartment there near the Watergate.
And
we would go there. Yeah, we would go there a lot. So, and we do, you know, and of course we're not too far, so one day we will visit. I thank
yes,
you so much
love
for
that.
Today.
That
I
would
love
great.
That too.
Absolutely.
Great. So
well, it's great
you.
To meet you, and thank you so much.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.